I guess you could call this our Christmas show because today we have two guests who are very focused on this time of year. My first guest is Captain Michael Simpson from the Salvation Army Church in Cobourg to talk about the Kettle Campaign currently underway. This is a time of great need in our community, and he will be telling us about the important fundraiser and where the money goes to do good works year-round. My second guest is Reverend Neil Ellis, minister at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Cobourg. He will be talking to us about the religious aspects of Christmas. As we rush around preparing for Santa's arrival, what has happened to the Christian celebration of the other arrival, Jesus Christ? So please stay tuned for our full hour. I'm here now with Captain Michael Smith of the Salvation Army. Welcome, Captain Simpson.
Thanks for having me.
Why is the Kettle Campaign so important to our community?
Well, the Kettle Campaign is it, along with our mailer campaign, is the 1 month of fundraising that we do for the entire year. So the funds that are raised through the bubbles that you find around the county between Cobourg and Port Hope, as well as the letters that you hopefully received in the mail, that funds all of our community and family services programming for the entire year.
And is that organized locally or is it done on a national level? How's that work?
The mailers that you received locally, at Christmas time, is local. Those are designed here, printed here. We use Ready Print for that. And they're actually folded and stuffed, about 24,000 of them, by volunteers. Wow. We have dinner. We call it a stuffing party. And we get them all done in one evening. And they go out through the local mail.
And the Kettle Campaign, how does that work in conjunction with the mail out?
So the kettles, we're typically at about 11 locations through the week between our two communities. And that's just a means by which folks who are coming in out of their shops, you have extra pocket change that can be put in. That's coordinated by our coordinator this year, Ms. Karen McNeil, who's done a wonderful job of securing new volunteers, bringing back those dedicated volunteers from previous years, making connections with local sports folks, first responders, politicians, as well as reaching out to other choral groups and other theater groups to help us make it a little extra special as opposed to just a bubble there. You'll find extra music happening this year.
Nice. And does that happen at every one of the locations that you have?
Yes. Last Saturday, folks may have noticed our band out playing carols. They also would have noticed a couple other choral groups. And that will happen again it will be tomorrow, where in Cobourg, at Walmart, at Canadian Tire, at Metro, No Frills, Foodland, LCBOs, where we'll be gathering to play carols. You'll see some of the Cobourg Cougar hockey players out and about. You'll see some politicians out and about doing their part. Especially, over in Port Hope as well, at the Metro, the Independent, and the LCBO will be playing. And so come on out and.
And you just do Port Hope and Cobourg. It's not for the entire county?
No, our Kettle Campaign is local. That's simply to do with volunteers, to do with scheduling, the logistics of distributing kettles, picking them up, making sure they're secure, and all that sort of aspect of it, yeah.
And how much money do you hope to raise?
Our goal this year is $110,000.
Now, that how does that compare to previous years?
Last year, we had a goal of $105,000, and we actually brought in just over $120,000, which was tremendous. That was, by and large, the largest amount we've ever collected locally, which is tremendous. It goes to show the support of these communities. We didn't want to reach too far. We didn't want to assume too much. Mm-hmm. So we think we were good with a goal of $110,000, and we're pretty sure we'll make it this year.
I was just wondering about that because, you know, we have so many causes that are looking for money, and particularly this time of year. I just was wondering, how hard is it to do fundraising at this time of year, and is it getting any harder?
You are correct. There's many different agencies. There's many different groups who are doing tremendous work in our community, for sure. We all work together. We partner on a lot of things. For us, it's simply being who we are. We try to be unassuming. The Army has been well-respected through the years. We've been trusted when people give their money to the Salvation Army, that it goes where it's supposed to go and it's used, and all those controls and all those pieces and accountability pieces are in place, and make sure that, that funds do go where they're needed.
I'm surprised, though. $110,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money when I look at the grocery list of services that you provide. So where does the money go? How is it divvied up?
The kettle campaign is $110,000. The mailer campaign is $160,000. That's the goal for that. So where the funds go through the year, we have a variety of you don't like to use the word programs or services, but throughout the year, probably the main issue is falls under the blanket or the umbrella, if you will, of emergency assistance. So that includes food, and that comes from food banks. That includes transportation at times. That includes shelter, as you know. And there's been more and more in the news locally about homelessness and the various aspects of that and how we try to not combat it, but as we try to work with folks who are experiencing that in their lives to move along and move on. We run a program called the Health Bank, which is pretty unique in the Salvation Army world. A lot of medical needs or services are addressed by programs. If you find yourself, somebody finds themselves in as part of the ODSP or OW or senior, or there's your benefits that you have through work. But sometimes there's things that fall through the cracks. And we're able to work with community partners such as the Rotary Club and other service clubs to help alleviate and help provide some of those things that are needed, whether it be orthotics or dentures or eyeglasses, things that might not be covered somewhere else. We can work to help someone in that way, which is a pretty unique program.
How much of the money goes directly to people, and how much of it goes to, say, administration and staff?
So money that's raised through the mailer and the Christmas Kettle campaign, 6.25% of it is what we it's termed MSA, which stands for the name just went off my mind. It's MSA is what it is. It's administrative support. So when we get, when we have to access our public relations department or help with employee relations or all the stuff that we have resourced from us, from our divisional headquarters, so 6.25% is the amount.
And the rest of it goes directly to...
The rest of it goes directly to programming, yeah.
Okay. Now, you started to talk a bit about the needs in the community, and maybe we could just unpack that a little bit more. Could you describe what you see as being the level of need in our community? How great is that? And how deeply does it sort of filter in through our community?
On the surface, a lot of people say or think, they say, well, I don't see it. I don't know anyone who is experiencing such and such. But the reality is that a lot of people do. If you look just basic numbers, last year, for instance, through our Christmas Hamper campaign or program, we helped adults and children included 1,362 individuals.
That's between Cobourg and Port Hope.
Cobourg and Port Hope.
Yeah. Okay.
And this year, it's an even 1,600. So that's 1,600 people who are in a place where they need help. Even just something as well, many of us would think as simple as a Christmas dinner, a few food days of food around that, and toys for their children. That's a lot of people. That's not just a couple here and there. That's a lot of families who are impacted. On the homelessness side of things, the issue is getting more complex. When you looked at the, if you go onto the Northumberland County's website and look at their A Home for Everyone State of Homelessness in Northumberland County report, you'll see that those who are more complex, or the issues surrounding the event of the finding themselves homeless, has almost doubled the percentage of those who find themselves homeless or at risk of being homeless. So it's a complex issue. It's not something that you can just kind of throw food at or money at. It's a matter of taking time to spend with people and walking with them during their day. And helping them as best you can.
How many people do you help over a calendar year?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I would say if you're taking a look at the individuals from the campaign and then add in through the those who don't access our Christmas program, I'd say it's probably just under 2,000 folks a year that we would walk through our doors or we would meet at a coffee shop somewhere.
And the types of things that you do, when you were describing it before with the, mm-hmm. the disabled people that you help, the people low income, mm-hmm. Maybe they're struggling, they have some money for some things but not for other things. Mm-hmm. How do they connect with you and how does the system work that they're sort of able to find you and then get the support that they need?
So locally, in terms of offices, yeah. 66 Swain Street in Coburg is where our Community Family Service office is in Coburg, and 100 Peter Street is where our office is in Port Hope. Mm-hmm. Now, those are also online. If you just Google Salvation Army Coburg or Port Hope, you'll mm-hmm. come to those websites, and people can see all of the services that are there, how to contact us, when our hours are. Aside from that, starting in the new year, we will be running a community response vehicle, which is a retrofitted RV, which we will pilot between Coburg and Port Hope, where we essentially make an after-hours extension of our family service office. So if folks can't make it into an office, maybe they're not comfortable going into an office, we will go out to where people are. There'll be meal, there'll be folks on the truck who have the ability to service individuals who come to us with whatever need they have, make those connections, start to build those relationships, and then work with people.
I've heard of those kinds of programs in mm-hmm. large cities. Mm-hmm. We actually have enough of a need in our community out here in rural Ontario for that kind of a service?
We believe so. Yes.
Is that right? How did you determine that?
From hearing from community partners, folks like Greenwood Coalition, police services, EMS, yeah. fire departments. Yeah, folks that they come across, folks that they know of. And we've determined that there is that need in this community. Maybe not same large scale as in a larger center, but we're at that point, we believe. So we're going to start in these two communities, and then as it progresses, as we have volunteers that come on board and resources are there, we'll expand it into other places. As needed, we'll reach out into those communities first, the partners that are there, to see if it's needed, where and when would be good times, and we'll build it as needed. I mean, we'd rather it not be needed, right?
Absolutely.
We'd rather it be a place where everyone has a home and everyone has food and everyone has what they need, but we just try to address what's in front of us.
How do you determine if somebody needs help or who you help? How do you determine that? I mean, is it just they come and they ask, or is there any sort of...
Pretty much, yeah. If someone's in a place where they feel they need help, they will come.
So I don't need to fill out any forms? I don't need to disclose any information? Do I need
on
to
the,
do that?
On the mobile site like that, no. If you walk up to the door, if you walk up to someone, we're there to help. No questions asked. Whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, yeah.
What is your relationship with other social agencies? How do you guys? You mentioned a number, mm-hmm. Greenwood Coalition and the police. How do those relationships work?
We work very closely with the other community partners that we have. Being in Northumberland County, being in communities such as ours here. While it's growing and some of the issues that larger centers face are starting to, well, have been here for a while, but are starting to make themselves known easier.
Like what?
We still, drugs, mm-hmm. Human trafficking, mm-hmm. any of these things.
Yeah.
While all these things are happening, we still have that small town feel. Yeah. Where we need to work together. No one can work in a silo. Nobody can work in isolation. We have to communicate with each other. We have to plan together how to work together well to best address these issues that come up.
We have a social services department at the county, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be in charge of a lot of things. And yet, mm-hmm. when you look at the grocery list of things that you guys do provide, the services that you do provide, how much of are they doing and how much are you doing and how does that relationship work?
They do a tremendous amount. We work very well together. They resource us both financially and they resource us with people. When we have questions, when we have difficult situations that are arising, as long as we have consent from people, that's key, that folks we work with give us consent and give other agencies consent to talk together to best help each other, whether it's working through the hospital, the mental health, whether it's working through addictions places, whether it's working through housing, workers, us, Transition House, we work together to, yeah.
To what extent does the county help you financially?
Tremendously. This year, 2018 calendar year, we will have spent close to $120,000 specifically on homelessness.
Just on homelessness?
And that has come from the county, yes.
And do they help in any other way financially?
With some other pieces around the mobile unit that's going to be starting up, and in conjunction with the warming room at the police building downtown, just helping with food aspect. Yes.
So, what's your total budget for all of this stuff that you're doing? I mean, you've mentioned how mm-hmm. much you raise. You've mentioned now how much the county. What's your total operating budget for when you guys?
Without including the county, we're already up around $250,000 to $260,000. So including the county, yep. it's over $375,000 probably is what the Salvation Army in Northumberland County
that makes you spends. Major player in the social services in our community.
It does.
So
it
when
does.
You're dropping those coins in that kettle, it's a big
it's
deal.
It's a huge deal. And it's wonderful. You see some people go by and they put in a few coins and they say, oh, I'm sorry, that's all I have. And you say thank you. It all adds up. And it does. Mm-hmm. When you sit there at night with a team of people emptying those bubbles and counting and recording and drawing up those deposit slips, it's tremendous how much it adds up. Like I said, I mean, when you have a goal of $110,000, you think, what's a quarter? But they all add up.
Now, recently in the news, we've heard that the Good Food Box program has been canceled. Mm-hmm. How's that impacting you?
Well, I mean, for those who did access it and for those who were involved in it, they did know that, you know, the Salvation Army administered that. So we were responsible for organizing ordering the food, packing the boxes, distributing them around the county to the order centers where people would pick them up. What we came to was the life of that program, the Good Food Box program, started over 20 years ago as a program for specific family service clients. There's about 7 of them.
And what is it, just quickly?
It's a program whereby someone can pay $10 for, they could pay $10 for a bag or $15 for a box of fresh fruits and vegetables. And that's, and or $10 if you had kids at home and you sure. required a subsidy. Yeah.
So what was the rationale then for taking it out?
Well, it grew over those 20 plus years yep. to be not a family service emergency specific program to one that was for everyone. And while that's a good program, it was a good program, and while that was a good thing to have community at large eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, over the years, what happened was it was drawing our resources, our finances, and personnel resources away from our what we really feel is our core mandate, and that is the most vulnerable, that acute emergency assistance part of what we do. So that was the money and time spent on that program mm-hmm. is being redirected into, for example, the mobile unit that will be going out. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, the county has assured us that more funds will be going to food banks directly to Food for All to supply food banks with more fresh fruits and vegetables. So we know that those folks who are really the most in need can still access those things at their food banks.
Now, a lot of this, in fact, probably the great majority of it, is done by volunteers. And I was noticing on your
huge.
Website, you know, you're constantly soliciting for volunteers. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to get volunteers and to get people to help you out?
It depends. Seasonally, through the year, it's a bit tougher to get those folks. But you know what? We've had tremendous volunteers. And the problem I think a lot of places are facing is that those volunteers who have been faithful and dedicated year after year after year after year, like all of us, are aging. So it's finding those new, younger volunteers who have a real sense of community and wanting to give back and be connected in that way. Yeah.
So I know at the bottom, behind all of this, all mm-hmm. these great services you mm-hmm. offer, you're a church.
We are.
How yes. is this an expression of your faith?
For the Salvation Army, it's hand in hand. They're both together. We are the good works we do in the community. I mean, there's a lot of agencies out there who could do just services and programs, but it's an outworking of our faith.
How?
We try to be church. We try to be and do church, and what that is I am the church. You know, anyone who's a Christian, they are the church, and you live out your faith and you serve others. You know, you put others first, and that's just how we express our faith and our love of Christ through doing good works. It doesn't mean you have to be a Christian to volunteer with us. It doesn't mean you have to believe what we believe to access our services. You can be anyone you are. We accept everybody with open arms, with no judgment, regardless. And and I just wanted to say before because we're almost out of time, just looking back to the kettle piece, tomorrow across Canada, Walmart, it's their Match the Kettle campaign. So mm-hmm. in Walmart nationally, they will match across the country up to $100,000. So what money goes in the bubbles tomorrow at our local Walmart here in Cobourg, Walmart Canada will match that. So if $5,000 is raised locally, it's actually $10,000. So just keep that in mind if you're out doing that last-minute shopping. That's a good spot to go.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. We'll keep that in mind for tomorrow. And on that note, we're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm here with Captain Michael Smith of the Salvation Army. But when we get back, Reverend Neil Ellis is coming in to talk about keeping Christ in Christmas. Please stay tuned to consider this on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.